content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Derek Frost for the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading from the Triangle Business Journal. And we'll start on the front page with the cover story headline, Small Towns, Big Perks. In rural North Carolina counties, race to attract remote and hybrid workers intensifies. And this article, written by Ben Tobin, begins inside the Triangle Business Journal with the second headline, Remote Access. Rural counties attract remote and hybrid workers with affordability and amenities. Caroline Hunt Gorham always wanted to return to her hometown of Rocky Mount. Remote and hybrid work helped accomplish that. Gorham makes a 75-minute commute to Briar Creek to work for clothing company Peter Millar on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Before the pandemic, Hunt's setup was unimaginable. But now Gorham says she gets to enjoy the best of both worlds. She gets to work in Raleigh while she and her husband live in Rocky Mountain Mills, a restored cotton mill that includes condominiums, restaurants, and retail stores. When I'm working from home, once I sign off work, I can just walk right down the street and meet friends for dinner or a drink, Gorham says. Rocky Mount is a small town, but it still has everything you need. For decades, North Carolina's smaller towns have seen young people go off to college and never return, but now remote work and hybrid work are not reserved for urban centers, giving hope for the smaller community seeking the growth that urban areas such as Raleigh and Durham have enjoyed. To be sure, bigger municipalities in the Research Triangle Park and around North Carolina do have the lion's share of remote and hybrid workers. Cary, for example, leads the nation for municipalities with the largest home-based workforces, with 41.4% of its workers spending the majority of their weeks at home. Wake County's work-from-home rate is 25.7%. But as counties on the outside of the Research Triangle look to attract new residents, capitalizing on the staying power of remote and hybrid work could be crucial for their growth. And it's not just an expansion of population. Remote and hybrid work opens the door for places like Rocky Mount to attract the college-educated, higher-earning individuals that can substantially swell a tax base and create real momentum for these communities. For example, Franklin County, a rural county northeast of Raleigh and adjacent to Nash County, had the state's largest percentage of workers who spend the majority of their work weeks at home, according to 2022 data from the U.S. Census Bureau. Hybrid and remote workers comprise 27.2% of Franklin County's workforce, putting the county at number 25 in the nation for home-based workers. With cheaper land, homes, and rents, outlying counties are looking to seize the opportunity to attract businesses and residents. We've seen a really large increase in residential development over the last 4 years, says Susan Phelps, an economic development manager with Nash County. We attribute that to people that are able to work from home and those that can be commuters. Home affordability is an obvious draw. The average home price in Nash County as of May was $233,664 per Zillow data. Wake County's is more than double that at $496,360. The commute from Raleigh to anywhere in Nash County, however, is no cakewalk, as exemplified by Gorham, and people who have to work in Raleigh may not want to make that commute 5 days a week. But remote work changes that equation, says Jeffrey DeBellis, Director of Economic Policy and Analysis for the North Carolina Department of Commerce. If you think of the things that would prohibit people from moving to more rural areas, the commute to work is certainly toward the top of that list, DeBellis says. So if you don't have to deal with that long commute every day, even if it's 2 or 3 days a week, it becomes more bearable. Remote and hybrid work lessens the barriers to locating further away from metropolitan centers, he says. Promoting live, work, play. From 1818 to 1996, Rocky Mountain Mills operated as the second oldest cotton mill in North Carolina, but after the mill closed, the campus at 1151 Falls Road sat vacant for 20 years. Today, thanks to renovations from Raleigh's Capital Broadcasting Company, Rocky Mountain Mills is teeming with residents and restaurants and serves as a critical piece to attracting remote and hybrid workers to Rocky Mount, where the population declined by more than 3,000 between 2010 and 2020. The remote work bump here from COVID was very strong, says Julie Baguette, assistant property manager for Rocky Mountain Mills. It's cheaper to live here versus the Triangle or the Charlotte region, and we have restaurants, breweries, trails, and the social life of a city, but with small town charm. Rocky Mountain Mills has more than 70 apartments, 50 homes, and skylight suites, a series of offices from 200 square feet to 800 square feet with a break room and a conference room, high-speed internet, which is more likely to be inaccessible in rural areas versus urban cores, is available throughout the campus. The small-town feel of Rocky Mount, plus the amenities of the mills, has helped land remote and hybrid workers. Holly Campbell, a native of upstate New York who went to East Carolina University, started working with accounting firm RSM US in October 2020, during the thick of the pandemic. She moved from Wilson into an apartment in the mills with her partner in 2021. Today, just like 2020, she is predominantly a remote worker, commuting to Raleigh a couple of days per week. When working from home, Campbell says, "It never feels like you're working alone with all the people and businesses that are at the mills, and it's so convenient to have breweries and shops within walking distance for after-work activities. It makes it easy to meet people." Baguette says that remote work is here to stay, and that she expects the mills to grow its housing stock as more people look to live and work there. "You have the city life here, but with the small-town charm of community," Baguette says. More co-working in Moore County. The Moore County Chamber of Commerce saw the need for a space for people to collaborate that wasn't an office or a coffee shop before the pandemic, according to Jana Walding, the chamber's director of business and community development. And when the pandemic started in March 2020, the chamber saw a golden opportunity to act on that need. Thus came the Third Floor, a chamber-led collaborative workspace in downtown Southern Pines connected to the chamber's office at 160 West New York Avenue. "We found that in the state of North Carolina, remote work went from 8% to 30% during the pandemic," Walding says. "So we wanted to create an inclusive environment that invited folks in, whether they're a chamber member or a remote worker that worked for a corporation that was global. We wanted to provide a space that was for everyone." So far, the space has had resounding success. Per Linda Parsons, president and CEO of the Moore County Chamber of Commerce, in 2022, there were 440 bookings for the space with more than 2,400 people coming to it. In 2023, those numbers rose to 586 bookings and more than 4,000 people. The chamber has used the space as a way to grow membership, offering chamber users discounted rates, a $130 monthly subscription for up to 3 days a week versus $25 daily. The regular users of the space are 100% remote workers, Walden says. One of those remote workers who consistently uses the space is Adam Chalker, the founder and CEO of the Green Lead Institute, an organizational consulting and executive coaching firm. Chalker has lived in Southern Pines since 2008 after moving from the Washington, D.C. area. With co-workers in different areas of the East Coast, Chalker worked by himself in an office space in downtown Southern Pines that was too quiet, he says. The Third Floor, with fellow remote workers doing their work, proved to be a better space for Chalker. "Being an extrovert, I really appreciate having the hustle and bustle of people coming in and out," he says. "I know that when I come here, it's going to be fun and I'm going to meet other people. It's just a really interesting crossroads." Another co-working space gaining traction in Southern Pines is the 12-million-plus community space at 670 Southwest Broad Street. The space opened last year and is dedicated to military spouses who work remotely. The mastermind behind the space, Lisa Rodewald, knows all about the importance of remote work. She's the co-founder and CEO of Instant Teams, a Southern Pines company and talent marketplace platform that focuses on training military spouses and pairing them with companies to work as customer service representatives. Rodewald, the spouse of an active duty soldier for the U.S. Army, knows firsthand how challenging remote work can be, particularly with most military bases not being near big cities. "A lot of remote workers feel very isolated and need community," she says. "I think that's kind of the missing piece of remote work we're trying to help fill." Be the size you are. One reason cities tend to have more remote and hybrid workers is because those types of jobs usually require at least a college degree, and educational attainment is higher in the cities and surrounding affluent suburbs, according to Nick Leverett, director of market analytics for the Raleigh-Durham area for CoStar Group. But rural counties still can attract these type of workers, he says. "Certainly rural counties have an opportunity there since people don't need to physically be present," Leverett said. "It's mostly just a question of having high-speed and reliable internet to make it work. And the other big thing is obviously employers who are willing to employ people in that capacity. In my experience, most employers prefer people to be in person." Counties away from the Triangle are busy at work getting the message out about the quality of life and affordability they offer. For example, the Greenville Eastern North Carolina, or ENC, Alliance brought Salary Transparent Street, a national organization focused on highlighting pay transparency, to interview workers in the Pitt County city of Greenville about their jobs and their quality of life. The organization has millions of followers across their social media platforms. Through that man-on-the-street interview style, we found a lot of people who moved to Greenville because they heard it was a great place to live, and also who maintained employment with their former employer because they work remotely, says Maria Satira, Director of Marketing and Communications for the Greenville ENC Alliance. She adds that piquing the interest of potential remote and hybrid workers has happened organically as the organization focuses on talent attraction broadly. DeBellis from the North Carolina Department of Commerce says that promoting quality of life is key for counties to capture remote and hybrid workers. Typically, in the before COVID times, it was important for workers to be somewhat close to work because they didn't want to sit in traffic forever, DeBellis says. So they may have sacrificed property or house size or affordability or close to shopping and entertainment for that easier commute. With that being lessened with hybrid work, people are looking more for places that are more affordable, that have luxuries of home and nearby amenities like schools if they have kids, green spaces, and parks, he adds. Those things are much more important if you're competing on quality of life. Evan Covington Chavez, the development manager for Rocky Mountain Mills, has a clear message for counties and towns looking to attract remote and hybrid workers. Don't pretend to be something you aren't. One of the things that is good to realize is that you're not the big city, she says. Be the size you are and promote that. And this edition of the Triangle Business Journal also includes the Space Third Quarter 2024 Commercial Real Estate Quarterly, a magazine insert. And we'll read the main article from this insert. Vacancy rates remain a concern as new properties come online. And this is written by Amanda Hoyle. The clock is ticking for office property owners and their creditors in the financial sector as the office vacancy rate in the Triangle has climbed sharply over the last 2 years. Some savvy real estate investors sold off properties to pay down debt. Others are working to reposition aging buildings for potential apartments or mixed-use development, but financing for new office towers and other big spaces is all but ground to a halt. The Class A vacancy rate increased to 17% in second quarter, compared to 15.6% the quarter prior. That was primarily driven by the delivery of three new buildings in Raleigh's Midtown District that were collectively 37% pre-leased. Class A absorption was stable with 14,060 square feet. The Class B market, however, is showing signs of weakness as more budget-conscious tenants shed excess office space or downsize to smaller spaces in newer buildings. Class B vacancy bumped to 11.2% vacancy in second quarter, compared to 9% vacancy the quarter prior, and absorption declined to negative 197,098 square feet as more office space was vacated than was leased or occupied in second quarter. The Triangle office market vacancy overall swelled to 16.6% from 15.2% the quarter prior. Factoring in 3.25 million square feet in office sublease listings, second quarter office vacancy is effectively 21.8%, up from 20.7% the quarter prior. Among other Triangle office market news in Q2, in Midtown Raleigh, the 12-story 1,000 Social Tower at the Exchange Raleigh development opened in June with 49% of its 315,427 square feet pre-leased. In nearby North Hills, the 10-story 1 North Hills Tower opened with 27% of its 264,632 square feet pre-leased. And the 5-story 4114 Creative Office Building opened with 26% of its 87,505 square feet pre-leased. At the Bank of America Tower, Brightly signed a new lease on the 14th floor for 28,658 square feet. Elsewhere in Raleigh, Charles Schwab and Company leased 28,882 square feet in the Tower 2 at Block 83 building in downtown. New leases were signed at Raleigh Ironworks Bow Trust building for 61,244 square feet, bringing that building to full occupancy. However, NC Insurance Guarantee Association vacated its 26,450 square feet building at 2910 Sumner Boulevard, and AmeriHealth Caritas NC vacated 55,620 square feet at Briar Creek South per an early contract buyout. And we'll go ahead and stop there as the rest of the article continues to list the vacancy issues for commercial property throughout the Triangle. And we'll turn to biz, a quick glance at Triangle happenings written by Dane Huffman. Olympics could bring ratings boost. After Olympic declines, Paris Games could draw big numbers for WRAL. Major sports events often don't draw the massive ratings they once did, but a splashy Olympic Games in Paris could be a bonanza for Raleigh's WRAL-TV. NBC has held the Summer Olympics contract since 1988, and that's usually ratings gold for affiliates such as WRAL. The station has reporter Liz McLaughlin, who has covered previous Olympics for NBC based in Paris, and two students from UNC Chapel Hill gathering interviews and material. Joel Davis, the station's vice president and general manager, says WRAL plans live reports daily during the morning 6 p.m. and 11 p.m. newscasts, and interest could be intense. The opening ceremonies are on the Seine River July 26. With the athletes being introduced as their boats float by, many of the venues will be at iconic locations such as the Eiffel Tower in Versailles. Projecting viewership is hard to say, but Davis is encouraged by the strong numbers that watched the Olympic trials. For example, he says 60,000 homes were watching the final night of gymnastics. How this stacks up to the past remains to be seen. Back in 2012, the opening ceremonies in London drew 40.7 million American viewers. That number dropped to 26.5 million in Rio de Janeiro in 2016, and then 17 million in Tokyo in 2021. Based on high ratings for the Olympic trials, think gymnastics and track and field, we expect the Paris Games will have high viewership, Davis tells Biz, noting the stunning plans for the opening ceremonies. The wow factor should be incredible, he says. Home tied to Russian couple up for auction. A Raleigh mansion with an interesting history is going up for auction. The 16,856-square-foot home in the Northridge Country Club community hit the market late last year for $10 million. But listing agency Engel & Völkers now says it is partnering with Platinum Luxury Auctions to sell the property. The auction for the home at 6510 New Market Way is set to begin August 23. The home is listed for $8.99 million, but there is no reserve on the auction. The home was owned by a Russian couple, Leonid and Tatiana Teff, when the Federal Bureau of Investigation raided it in 2018. List ranks Durham as key spot for business. Durham has appeared on a list of trending business travel destinations, according to a new report from American Express. The Amex Trendex Business Travel Edition named Durham among five other cities where business travelers will be visiting over the next year, thanks to the region's strong biotech scene, Durham's downtown, and the Raleigh-Durham International Airport. Former Novant leader lands new role at Allucent. Paula Brown Stafford is back as a CEO 1 year after her previous company filed for bankruptcy. Stafford has been named CEO of Allucent, a contract research organization headquartered in Cary. The move follows Stafford's leading drug maker, Novant, in Durham before the company went bankrupt last year. Former Allucent CEO Mark Goldberg will continue to serve as chairman, the company says, calling the leadership change a planned transition. Stafford was previously president of Quintiles, now ICVIA, and was TBJ's 2022 Woman in Business Lifetime Achievement Award winner. And finally, ITB Retirement Center starts to take shape. A major redevelopment of a senior living facility has broken ground in Raleigh. Pruitt Health, owner of the Oaks at Whitaker Glen, is starting construction on the continuing care retirement community. The $385.5 million redevelopment will provide senior living, retail, and health care in one location. When complete, it will have 246 independent living apartments, 82 assisted living apartments, and a 106-bed skilled nursing center spread over 20 acres. Residents will have access to an indoor and outdoor swimming pool, spa, pickleball and bocce ball courts, putting green, golf simulator, fitness center, walking trails, greenhouse, gardens, and a poolside grill and restaurant. Some of the retail will be available to residents and the public, including a restaurant, coffee shop, pharmacy, physician services, and outpatient rehabilitative therapy. And now we turn to the top news stories in the Triangle Business Journal, starting with the story written by Kaylee Thompson. Morrisville, ready to create a downtown. Town eyes $105 million investment to jumpstart effort to change the town. The town of Morrisville is getting closer to building its own downtown core. The town is preparing to enter into a development agreement with Sing Development, which was selected as the town's development partner in 2021. The estimated cost for the entire town center is a little more than $105 million, according to town documents. The town is responsible for about $20.2 million of that figure, while Sing Development is responsible for $85 million. Sing Development, based in Michigan, will develop all of the first phase, which includes a multifamily building with ground floor retail, a parking deck, and more commercial space. The town will pay a project management fee to Sing for the construction of the town green, the pocket park on Carolina Street, and the infrastructure. The town also agrees to hold 4 events per quarter at the town green, which will be donated back to the town after it is complete. Town documents say the project will not require an additional tax increase beyond the 2021 increase for the bond debt already in place. The town council received an update on the project July 23. Council is scheduled to take action on whether to enter into a development agreement with Sing Development on August 27. The town council approved the rezoning for Phase 1 in January. The town is anticipating a groundbreaking for Phase 1 in spring 2025. Phase 1 will include 220 residential units with ground floor retail, a 4.5-acre town green, an amphitheater, cottage retail shops, a parking deck with dedicated public spaces, a pocket park outside the retail space at Carolina Street and Foxglove Drive, and an expanded area for the Western Wake Farmers Market. In total, the town center will cover 25 acres bordered by Town Hall Drive, Jeremiah Street, Church Street, and Carolina Street. Accreditation reinstated at HBCU. St. Augustine's looks for a path forward as financial crush remains. This article is written by David Pertell. St. Augustine's University in Raleigh says it has its accreditation back as the school tries to find a viable path forward amid financial woes. The historically black university on July 22 said the arbitration committee appointed by the school's accrediting agency has decided to reverse the decision to remove the school's membership. The decision follows months of uncertainty for the school after the Southern Association of Colleges and Schools Commission on Colleges, or SACSCOC, stripped St. Aug's of its accreditation in December. That action came after the school for years had failed to maintain financial compliance and had been placed on probation. Without accreditation, St. Aug's would not be able to receive federal funds and its students would not receive federal student aid, effectively crippling the school's operating budget heading into the new academic year. The school's first day of in-person classes is August 19. According to a notice posted on the SACSCOC website, the arbitration panel voted unanimously to reverse a previous ruling of the SACSCOC Appeals Committee, which in February affirmed the decision to terminate St. Aug's accreditation. The panel found that SAU should have been permitted to present new and verifiable financial information regarding its compliance. As a result, the university will remain an accredited institution on probation pending the outcome of its next review by the SACSCOC Board of Trustees in December. Before that review, the organization's compliance committee will review the matter and forward a recommendation to the trustees. In a statement, St. Aug's Board of Trustees Chairman Brian Bulware said, "The SACSCOC Arbitration Committee's decision serves as a pivotal moment for SAU's redemption and renewal. The unanimous reversal by the Arbitration Committee rightfully corrects the injustice inflicted upon SAU by SACSCOC's initial ruling and underscores the university's steadfast commitment to excellence and growth." Even with its accreditation restored, the university still faces an uphill climb. A recent lawsuit accuses the Board of Trustees of years of financial malfeasance, and the Internal Revenue Service says St. Aug's owes millions in unpaid taxes. Also, reports in recent months said the school at times went weeks without paying staff, leading to a federal investigation by the Department of Labor. Wilson wins another big plant. This is written by Ben Tobin. A multinational company that manufactures and distributes pet health products has selected an eastern North Carolina city for a sizable expansion. IDEX Operations, and that's spelled IDEXX, a subsidiary of Maine's IDEX Laboratories, is planning to build a new manufacturing plant in Wilson. The company will invest roughly $147 million to create 275 jobs with the minimum average wage above $65,000. The project was announced July 23rd during a meeting of the North Carolina Department of Commerce's Economic Investment Committee. The committee voted to approve a performance-based JDIG incentive grant of a little more than $3.87 million, with other state and local incentives going to the project. North Carolina's main competition for the project was the greater Atlanta area. The committee said the plant will manufacture veterinary diagnostic products to help increase operational capacity and provide supply chain resiliency. IDEX Laboratories employs roughly 11,000 people across six continents with customers in 175 countries. And our next article concerning Glenwood South is written by Kaylee Thompson. Two Tower Project Targets New Start Date. A New York developer says it is closer to starting construction on a two-tower project that would dramatically change the look of Glenwood South in Raleigh. Turnbridge Equities is looking to start construction on the Creamery development around the end of 2024 or early next year, according to CBRE, which is handling leasing for the retail portion of the project. Triangle Business Journal previously reported that Turnbridge would start work on its 36-story residential tower in mid-2024, but work is yet to begin, and the site work and infrastructure permits that were approved have all expired, according to the City of Raleigh. Turnbridge has started new application processes for the permits for 400 and 410 Glenwood Avenue, the site of the historic Creamery building. It also appears plans for the development first revealed in 2021 have changed slightly. CBRE, in announcing it is handling leasing for the development, says the residential tower is designed for 37 stories. Initial plans called for a 32-story tower, but were later increased to 36. TBJ also previously reported that the residential tower would have 299 units, but the CBRE press release says 306 units. A 37-story tower could potentially be the tallest building in downtown Raleigh. At the Creamery building, four of the current retail tenants have renewed their beer and wine licenses through April 30, 2025, Pine State Public House, the Ark Royal, Sullivan Steakhouse, and Milk Bar. Boutique in Apex expands to Durham. Amber Brennan looks to offer a range of prices at new store. And this article is written by Kate Tracy. Amber Brennan is expanding her retail presence from Apex to downtown Durham. The owner of the clothing boutique Rose and Lee Company is opening her second boutique on August 16 at 213 West Main Street across from the Durham Visitor Info Center. Rose and Lee sells women's clothing from brands that prioritize high ethical environmental standards. The boutique also sells gifts and accessories. Brennan tested the Durham market by opening a pop-up shop during the past holiday season and decided that the foot traffic in downtown Durham would make it a great fit for her second store. "I have staff in Durham. I personally love Durham, spend a ton of my free time there," she says. "The Durham community is a conscious community as well, and they really don't have very many options when it comes to clothing shopping in downtown specifically." Brennan's professional background includes stints in retail management at Target and nonprofit leadership. After becoming aware of the negative impacts fast fashion has on people and the environment, Brennan decided she wanted to open a boutique offering brands that prioritized environmentally friendly clothing production and fair wages for workers. Along with a business partner, she purchased Rose and Lee's Apex building at 104 West Chatham Street in 2018 and opened the boutique in 2019. She bought out her partner in 2021 and is now the sole owner of the business. Rose and Lee also has a website, which Brennan said accounts for about 8% of the boutique's total sales. The boutique also has an in-house stylist who helps customers choose different fashions. "We do our best to offer a range of pricing options for our customers. She can come here and get a dress for $60 or invest $150 into a dress, depending on the occasion and her budget," Brennan says. Brennan is investing approximately $130,000 in the new location. She and her husband are using revenue from the Apex location as well as a capital investment to fund the new expansion. Brennan declines to share revenue from the Apex store. She employs 10 people now and has hired a manager for the Durham store. She'll also hire an additional 3 staff members for that store. And now we turn to the reporter pages in the Triangle Business Journal, starting with Zach Ezone's page, Healthcare and Life Sciences. Bioventus denies claims but settles lawsuit. Medical device company will pay $15 million to end shareholder lawsuit. A public company in Durham is prepared to pay a multi-million dollar settlement in a class action lawsuit. Bioventus has reached an agreement to settle the shareholder lawsuit, which claims it misstated its financial results, leading to an artificial stock price. The medical device company has denied all claims in the lawsuit. If approved by the court, Bioventus will pay $15.25 million to settle claims that it misled investors about the impact of rebates Bioventus was required to pay to third-party insurers. These misstatements resulted in $12.4 million in inflated revenue for the company that did not exist. Bioventus, at the end of March, reported cash of about $25.2 million. The settlement requires an initial court approval of the terms and whether notices should be sent to the proposed settlement class. After the notices are provided and a hearing is held, the court would then have to grant final approval of the settlement. The case began with an initial complaint in January 2023. A few months later, the court appointed Wayne County Employees Retirement System as lead plaintiff in the case. This is the public pension fund for the public employees of Wayne County, Michigan, home to Detroit. As lead plaintiff, the pension fund in July 2023 filed a second amended complaint with the U.S. District Court for the Middle District of North Carolina. In addition to misleading investors about the rebates, this complaint claims that Bioventus misled investors about the effectiveness of its internal financial controls related to rebates. The complaint alleges that Bioventus falsely assured investors that Bioventus was fully prepared for the implementation of new Medicare regulations in 2022 that reduced pricing and reimbursement on Bioventus's key products. Bioventus declined to comment beyond its statements in court filings and has previously denied all claims alleged in the complaint. According to a court filing, the defendant settled solely to eliminate the uncertainty, burden, and expense of further protracted litigation. The settlement may not be construed as an admission of any wrongdoing by defendants, the court filing says. The proposed settlement class includes any person or entity that acquired Bioventus common stock between February 11, 2021 and November 21, 2022. Raleigh Pharma loses another commercial product. A pharmaceutical company in Raleigh has dropped another commercial product. Red Hill Biopharma has voluntarily terminated a license agreement to market the drug Aemcolo, spelled A-E-M-C-O-L-O, in the U.S. The company described this as a mutual decision with Cosmo Technologies, a subsidiary of the drug developer Cosmo Pharmaceuticals. The license agreement will be terminated on October 8, about 5 years after the companies entered the agreement. After it is terminated, Red Hill will stop commercialization of Aemcolo, a treatment for traveler's diarrhea, and rights to the drug will revert back to Cosmo. A Red Hill spokesperson said the timing of the drug's launch near the beginning of the pandemic made it difficult for the product to gain traction. The decision comes more than a year after Red Hill divested the drug Movantik, which had been the company's primary revenue generator. The divestment was part of a transaction that canceled more than $100 million in debt obligations. Following these moves, Red Hill's sole commercial product is Talicia, a treatment for Helicobacter pylori infection. And finally, Durham Hospital named best in the state. Duke University Hospital in Durham is the top hospital in North Carolina, according to the latest hospital rankings from U.S. News & World Report. In addition to topping the publication's ranking of the best hospitals in the state, Duke Health's flagship hospital was also considered one of the best in the nation. For its North Carolina ranking, U.S. News evaluated 135 hospitals in the state, of which 19 met the publication standards to be included in its list of best regional hospitals. Following Duke University Hospital, the top five hospitals in the state were UNC Hospitals in Chapel Hill, Atrium Health Carolina's Medical Center in Charlotte, UNC Rex Hospital in Raleigh, and ECU Health Medical Center in Greenville. In addition, Duke University Hospital landed a spot on U.S. News' 2024-25 honor roll for the best hospitals in the country. That includes 20 hospitals with exceptional breadth and depth of excellence. Duke was the only North Carolina hospital to make the list. U.S. News evaluated nearly 5,000 hospitals across more than 30 medical and surgical services. Duke Hospital was nationally ranked in 11 adult specialties and 10 pediatric specialties. Meanwhile, UNC Hospitals was nationally ranked in 1 adult specialty and 9 pediatric specialties. And now we turn to the Around Town page written by Natalie Braden. Indian restaurant to replace bar. Beer study to give up spot on Franklin Street after property sold. A beloved Chapel Hill bar and bottle shop is leaving its home on Franklin Street and setting its sights elsewhere as plans call for a new restaurant to take its space. The property at 504 West Franklin Street recently was sold for $1.7 million to Babahi Group Properties, LLC of Apex. Popular bar Beer Study plans to move elsewhere after its restaurant partnership fell through and rent became unmanageable, according to former property owner Sammy Martin. Originally located at 106 North Graham Street, Beer Study has been serving craft beers in Chapel Hill for 11 years. While its location at 2501 University Drive in Durham has remained stable, it has encountered some difficulties on Franklin Street. In Durham, Beer Study shares its space with Boot Room, a soccer pub and sandwich shop. The partnership helped make the rent more manageable. After success on University Drive, the pair decided they would share the space on Franklin Street. But after 4 months at 504 West Franklin Street, Boot Room decided to back out. Operating 3,000 square feet without the help of another tenant was out of the question for the owners of Bear Study, according to Martin. And we'll stop there as it just gives background on the companies. But there is a mention that the Bear Study owner is apparently trying to stay in downtown Chapel Hill. Innovate Carolina adds Institute to its tent. The Institute for Convergent Science at UNC Chapel Hill is under new management. UNC has placed the Institute within Innovate Carolina, the initiative aimed at turning research into commercial operations. Convergent science is a form of collaborative science where researchers work in tandem with experts from multiple disciplines to put the innovation into practice. Currently, ICS is housed within the Genome Sciences Building on campus and where its physical location will stay. UNC Chief Innovation Officer Dedrick Carter says ICS is the right fit for Innovate Carolina. The Institute is bringing together science from all over with the idea that it might have high commercialization potential, Carter says, and that's a bit different than your standard research. With more than $1.2 billion in research enterprise, there was a great need for UNC to simplify the transition from research to product. Innovate Carolina's expertise in entrepreneurship has the potential to be of great use to ICS, Carter says. He says the strategic alignment and direction of the Institute will change. Two of his main ideas for the future of ICS include building a pipeline of research with high translation potential and pulling together programs to identify early talent needed to be entrepreneurial leads. And finally, Durham startup secures investment. An AI-powered healthcare firm in Durham is one of five startup companies nationwide selected for an underrepresented founders cohort. Clinispan Health has received a $100,000 investment from Generator and Alliance Life as part of their Minneapolis-St. Paul Equity Accelerator Program. The company will now partake in an intensive 12-week program with other minority-led startups. Clinispan offers a software platform for social media influencers to help connect people of color and underserved groups access to clinical studies. The MSP Equity Accelerator Program will include coaching, mentorship-driven programming, and connections to the Generator network of mentors and investors. There were 312 applicants nationwide, with just five selected based on their investor readiness, growth potential, and strategic alignment with the Minnesota market, where the two investors are based. Clinispan Health CEO and co-founder Desby McDaniel says his company's strong team and connections with Generator partner Al Cornish were likely factors in the firm's selection. We built this startup from $0 to $1 million in revenue, had influencer campaigns with over 1 million impressions, managed over 100-plus clinical trials as private investigators, and built AI machine learning products for other venture-backed startups, McDaniel says. The company is seeing 150% year-over-year revenue growth, according to McDaniel, who graduated from UNC Chapel Hill. And now we turn to Kaylee Thompson's page, Real Estate and Development. Kane starts next phase at former Clancy and Faze HQ. Second phase, Oldham and Worth, will rise next to the platform. Construction is about to start on the second phase of a transformative development in Raleigh's Warehouse District. Kane Realty Corporation is tackling the second mixed-use building in its West End development at the former Clancy and Faze headquarters, called Oldham and Worth. The seven-story building will be at the corner of West Cabarrus and Southwest Streets. It's adjacent to the first building, Platform, which opened to residents in October 2023. Oldham and Worth will have 252 apartments and 4,000 square feet of ground floor retail space. The apartments will be on five levels and range from studios to three-bedroom units. It's a vacant lot right now, but it has been an underutilized site for years, so it's really great, says Alan McCollum, Kane Realty Director of Development. That's one of the things we really enjoy about this process, is taking an underutilized site and turning it into something that the community can enjoy. McCollum says the project schedule has the amenity space, leasing office, and first units opening in the second quarter of 2026, with the remaining units complete 2 months after that. The average square footage for apartments at Oldham and Worth is 825 square feet. McCollum says the rental rates will be similar to the platform, where rents range from $1,300 to more than $3,330 a month. The mixed-use residential building is fully funded via a combination of debt and equity. JLL Capital Markets says it worked on behalf of Kane to secure $33.6 million in joint venture equity and $51.4 million in construction financing. The limited partner equity commitment comes from an unnamed institutional investment fund in South America, according to JLL. The construction loan is from a national life insurance company. The platform building, totaling 352,000 square feet, has about 25,000 square feet of retail space with one retailer signed so far. Homebody Yoga and Wellness will open in a 2,500 square foot space in early 2025. Kane Realty's aim is to bring in small and local businesses. Chicago firm pays top price for senior living facility. An independent senior living facility near the Triangle Town Center recently sold for more than $25 million. Focus Healthcare Partners of Chicago acquired Trio Senior Living for $26.166 million, according to Wake County Deed Records. The investment and asset management company bought the retirement community from Columbia Pacific Advisors of Seattle. Columbia Pacific Advisors developed the community after buying the land for $1.8 million in 2016. Columbia built the facility in 2018. There are 143 units in one four-story building that is serviced by elevators. The facility has a total assessed value of about $28.7 million. Focus Healthcare Partners has renamed the property The Willows at Raleigh. Focus Healthcare Partners says on its website that it makes investments in senior housing, skilled nursing, medical office, and other specialty healthcare properties. The Willows at Raleigh is on 5.02 acres at 2722 Spring Forest Road, close to both Capitol Crossing Shopping Center and the Triangle Town Center Mall. The facility made U.S. News and World Report's 2024 Best Senior Living Rankings, achieving a score of 4.6 out of 5. And finally, more housing in line for Big Raleigh development. A New York developer is looking to bring more apartments to a popular development in Northeast Raleigh. Hudson Capital Properties has filed new site plans for a mixed-use building in the 5401 North community off Lewisburg Road. The building will have 226 units with more than 10,000 square feet of retail space and a four-level parking garage. Site plans show there will be 178 one-bedroom units, 45 two-bedroom units, and 3 three-bedroom units in a four-story building. Some of the units will have balconies. Amenities include a pool, fitness center, yoga room, 3 courtyards, a club room, and co-working room. The parking garage will be attached to the building and will have 306 spaces. The retail space will be 10,306 square feet and have 3 tenant spaces. The site plan lists the space as restaurant and retail. And now we turn to Kate Tracy's page, Retail and Restaurants. She looks ahead after Top Chef. Durham's Miller made run to finals of the hit cooking competition on Bravo. A Durham chef is charting her next steps after reaching the finals of Bravo's popular cooking competition, Top Chef. Throughout the season, Chef Savannah Miller wowed the judges with her recipes and walked away with $38,000 in total winnings from the dishes she cooked that featured her North Carolina background as well as her experience with Japanese and Korean cuisine. Miller, who grew up in the Pinehurst and Southern Pines area, is chef de cuisine at M. Tempura in Durham, which is 6 years old this year. She also previously helped open Glasshouse Kitchen in Research Triangle Park. After finishing in the top three on the Wisconsin season of Top Chef, the final aired June 19. Miller is now back at M. Tempura and is also busy hosting small dinner events. It's something that my partner and I are really passionate about. He's a farmer and he has a lot of front of house experience, so together we have been doing a few intimate in-home dinners for people that have been really fun, Miller says. Miller says she's a big fan of the show and has watched it for years. I've always thought it's something I would really like to do, but it just felt like this grand thing, and I was scared of it, she says. But it was great. I had a really good time auditioning, and I thought the process was really thorough, and it was fun. Miller also found doing the show provided a boost to her confidence, and despite watching the show for years, she says she was still naive about the impact of the broadcast. It's been a life-changing experience, and I'm so happy I did it, Miller says. And it's only brought really cool opportunities and really fun people, and I've made lifelong friendships. New Red Hat venue to cut off South Street. Plans are progressing for Red Hat Amphitheater's relocation in downtown Raleigh. This month, the city of Raleigh received an administrative site review application for the proposed relocation to make room for the expansion of the Raleigh Convention Center. The new location would be one block south of the current location, but the new amphitheater would cut through South Street. Carrie Painter, executive director of the Raleigh Convention and Performing Arts Complex, says cutting through South Street was absolutely necessary. Unfortunately, there's no other way to fit the amphitheater at that capacity on the site. We've turned, we've pivoted, we've tried to build up a little. There's just no other way to get the amenities you need for artists, enough plaza and egress and bathrooms and then the seats on the site without falling over the South Street block, she says. There are approximately 5,900 seats now, while the new venue will have between 6,000 and 6,500 seats, including bench seating. Painter says they were hoping for a capacity of 7,000 or 8,000 seats, but the site and the project budget were not large enough, but going below 6,000 seats would make it difficult to land artists to play there. The project is headed for a city council vote this September. And finally, mini golf venue tees up locations. Indoor golf continues to be a hit in Raleigh as a family-owned business tees up to double its number of locations in North Carolina. Partee Shacks, that's spelled P-A-R-T-E-E, Shack, has leased 19,590 square feet at Celebration at Six Forks, a shopping center located at 7311 Six Forks Road in North Raleigh. The business has also leased 17,000 square feet at Capital Marketplace, a shopping center, also known as Plantation Point Shopping Center, in Northeast Raleigh at 6250 Plantation Center Drive. A pair of couples, John and Caroline Berger and Jimmy Garcia and Zainab Diab, opened their first Party Shack at in 2021 at 5300 Fayetteville Road, south of downtown Raleigh, followed by a Greensboro location last year. The Raleigh venue has an 18-hole mini golf course in addition to arcade games and food and drink options, including craft beer, ciders, and seltzers. Meanwhile, the Greensboro location is 45,000 square feet with an 18-hole mini golf course, go-kart track, arcade games, pizzeria, and more. Party Shack's owners did not respond to requests for comment about the growth plans. The Raleigh location on Fayetteville Road charges $16 for unlimited golf for adults Monday through Friday and $12 for kids ages 3 through 12. On the weekends, those prices are for a single round. And our last reporter page is Ben Tobin's page, Greater Triangle. Developer eyes Toyota workers for Sanford. An active developer in the Sanford area is proposing a townhome subdivision in the Lee County City, hoping to attract future workers at the Toyota plant in nearby Randolph County. Mark Liskowski has submitted plans to the Lee County Technical Review Committee for 421 North, a neighborhood in West Sanford off Glenwood Drive and Highway 421 North that would include 59 townhomes according to application documents. The attached townhomes with an average lot size of 2,000 square feet would be spread across 12.26 acres per the application. Liskowski says he sees the housing as a potential option for workers at the future Toyota battery manufacturing plant in Liberty. Sanford is roughly 35 miles from Liberty. Toyota is planning to invest $13.9 billion and create more than 5,000 jobs at the plant, which Toyota says will be operational in 2025. The neighborhood may allow some affordable housing options for employees for Toyota, as housing is limited in Siler City, the application says. Siler City, located in western Chatham County, is roughly 12 miles from Liberty, but issues with water and wastewater capacity have stymied development. The town is planning to work with the city of Sanford to increase capacity. Liskowski anticipates homes will be under construction in late 2025 and early 2026. Coastal investor grabs land in Benson. An investor from the North Carolina coast has paid big bucks for Johnston County land that is primed to have dozens of homes in the coming years. JJC Land, a Wilmington LLC tied to investor Jack Carlisle, purchased a little more than 26 acres off North Honeycutt Road in Benson for roughly $1.3 million earlier this year, according to Johnston County deed records. The land sits near the intersection of Interstates 40 and 95. The land had previously been approved for a subdivision with dozens of homes, according to Carlisle. The homes will be a mix of townhomes and single-family homes. "It'll be a wonderful subdivision," Carlisle says. Homes will sell for between $350,000 to $400,000 and will be available in about 6 months, according to Carlisle. Carlisle is a real estate investor and developer in the Wilmington area. These are the latest new homes coming to Johnston County, which, due to its close proximity to Raleigh and relatively cheaper land, have made it one of the hottest counties in North Carolina. Between 2010 and 2020, it was the fastest growing county in the state. Investors and developers have been buying up land in the county for years, mainly to build large residential developments. Land prices, although still cheaper than in Wake and Durham counties, have been climbing fast in Johnston County. It's no longer uncommon to see vacant property trade for more than six figures per acre. And finally, more industrial space in Goldsboro. Two shell buildings offer customized options for future businesses. An eastern North Carolina county is bringing online new industrial space in order to attract business investments. The private-public Wayne County Development Alliance has two new shell buildings available in the Park East Industrial Park in Goldsboro, a 50,000-square-foot building that is expandable to 100,000 square feet, and a 30,000-square-foot building expandable to 120,000 square feet, according to Craig Fout, president of the alliance. Fout says the buildings are customizable, so they will need to be updated by the end user. "We've got a lot of companies that are looking at greenfield sites in North Carolina," Fout says. "This is a greenfield site. However, we've started the construction to get them part of the way there. So really, we're just trying to help out with the speed to market for a potential client." The goal is to sell the buildings, but leasing is negotiable, says Fout. One of the buildings was funded through Wayne County, and the other was funded through the Wayne County Alliance. The 50,000-square-foot building is listed for $3.9 million per Fout, and the 30,000-square-foot building is listed for $2.9 million. Fout says the buildings sit on 38 acres in the Goldsboro ETJ, extraterritorial jurisdiction, but will not be annexed into the city. The county and city will split the tax levy to reduce overall property taxes for potential buyers, Fouch says. "And our local governments are very aggressive with performance-based agreements," he says. Complete with utilities and a large electrical capacity, Park East Industrial Park was recently named as one of the top 15 smaller select sites for business opportunity in North Carolina by the Economic Development Partnership of North Carolina. Dallas consulting firm Site Selection Group helped put together the list. Also included in eastern North Carolina were the Global Trance Park, the Farmville Corporate Park, the Carolina Innovation Park, and the U.S. 301 industrial site. Now we'll read the big number sections that are sprinkled throughout the Triangle Business Journal. The first big number, $8.7 million, the amount Lennar Carolinas paid for 69 vacant lots in recent weeks across two neighborhoods in Johnston County. $342,000. The number of riders the state's inner city train service called NC by Train saw in the first 6 months of 2024, up 20% from a year ago. Our next number is $3.2 million. That's the list price for the Durham property that houses Luna Rotisserie and Empanadas. Lennox and Gray owner Nish LeBlanc bought the property in 2019 for $2.49 million. 55,000. The total square footage of retail space for KDM Development's Cobblestone Village at 108 South Main Street in Rollsville. The firm has multiple tenants with leases and three pending leases. Once those are signed, the project will only have two suites left to fill. And our last big number is, or big amount, is $1.3 million. That's how much Samir Tawadros, the person behind Fuel Express LLC, paid for a gas station at 108 South Main Street in Franklinton in July. And we only have one quotable section in this edition of the Triangle Business Journal. This is a quote from Lindsay Rieg, 321 Coffee co-founder and CEO on leaving downtown Durham. "We are pivoting our efforts to continue growing and investing in Durham in new ways while we launch our new shop on NC State Centennial Campus and expand our grocery retail presence through new partnerships with retailers such as Whole Foods." And with our remaining time, we'll read as much as we can of another article from the Space Insert. "Salvius deal provides boost in flat sector" by Amanda Hoyle. Flex real estate leasing activity across the Triangle in second quarter was relatively flat, but a highlight came in May with the announcement that European life sciences company Salvius would establish its new U.S. operations at Discovery at Perimeter Park in Mooresville. Salvius plans to create 100 new jobs over the next few years after signing a 50,600-square-foot lease in the Discovery 5 building. The Triangle Market's Flex Lab vacancy rate in second quarter was flat at 26.9%. Absorption was negative, 48,694 square feet. The Flex Industrial vacancy rate was also stable at 8.8%. Combined, the market's Flex vacancy rate was relatively unchanged at 15.8% in second quarter. Total Flex absorption was negative 47,821 square feet. Factoring in sublease listings, Flex vacancy was 17.4%. And looks like we'll go ahead and stop right there as we've run out of time for today's episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Derek Frost for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The Triangle Business Journal is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. So long until next time, and thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.